Come on, Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Kitaya, Bhutaya, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Vithi Vedanta Namaste Saraswati Devi Oravani
Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 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 Hare
그렇게 지시마의 모임이 있던 파운더 체어의 대가기로 셋이 바퀴 그다음에 표창을 보았다.
네.
가벼운 듯이 바라 마음 속으로 이걸 지고 차이가 스피터를 지시마 이번 잉글리스는 벅티 시단트 사이서 기타크를 보고 가야 하나님 되고 디바이션 분위기
피자
나무 차례시 라하리 다스타 피자 Prem Sri Guru Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Dvaita Gadadara Sivasa Gaura Bhakta Vinna Kvita Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopal Gopina Shama Kundara Kunda Giri Gaurava Dham
Kvita
Vrindavan Dham
Kvita
Mathura Dham
Kvita
Ravadi Maipu Dham Kvita Jagannath Puri Dham Kvita Jamuna Mai Kvita Ganges Mai Kvita Tulasi Devi Kvita Bhakti Devi ki
jai,
Samarenta Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai,
Vitae Gaura Prema Nandu,
All
glory is the Sangha, All glory is the Sangha, All glory is the Sangha, Glory to Shishi Guru Sri Gaura Jai. Namo Vishnu Padre Krishna Shri Guru Sri Gaura Jai. Krishna Padre Krishna Shri Guru Sri Gaura Jai. Krishna Padre Krishna Shri Guru Sri Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice. How do you want to feel that? It's from Gopa. We send a message. Send one letter. And the nation, one question there. What was it?
Louder than
Taylor. Maharaj in. When we look at sense gratification, we cannot satisfy our senses. It is unsatiable. It is like unlimited. So material life also is unlimited. And on the other hand, we see spiritual life also. Krishna is unlimited. The bliss in Krishna is also unlimited. Why should one pursue that unlimited path and not this one?
There is no end to material sense desire. There is no end to it. So it looks unlimited. And spiritual level, so Christian consciousness is unlimited. There is no end to it. Lord Savdev said, Brahma Sokyam to Ananta. Brahma Sokyam. But he didn't say, Matras says the gratification is anantam also. He didn't say that. Not that he forgot. No, he didn't forget. Because material life seems unlimited, but it's full of miseries. It's full of miseries. Every step in sense gratification has unlimited miseries that come with it. Every step. So it is painful. And sense gratification makes us to forget our self-interest. Who we are. It makes us to always remain on the bodily platform. So sense gratification is very, very dangerous. Even though it looks like it's ending, it is all miserable. Therefore, no intelligent person should go there. Spiritual life is unlimited, but it's blissful. Is joyful. So both of them look like unlimited, but they're not the same. They're not the same. The difference is so great. If you look very carefully, every attachment, either is material or spiritual, has pain. If you are material attached, there is pain. If you are spiritual attached, there is pain. Krishna leaves a gopi crying in the forest the whole night. They are crying. In the material world, people are crying for the pains of material existence. They are not the same. What is the difference? The pains which one gets from being a pure devotee, relishing the transcendental bliss which exists between a devotee and Krishna, it looks painful, but that is blissful. It is blissful. Material attachment, very, very painful. Very painful, so dry that no intelligent person should go there. And one will not be satisfied because it has nothing to do with the soul. It is just about the body. His spirituality has to do with the soul. So the soul is satisfied. Lord Krishna told Srimati Radharani, there is nothing like separation between us. Separation doesn't exist. But the feeling of separation is what maintains prema. Therefore, for prema to exist, there is a feeling of separation. The feeling, oh, I'm going to be separated tomorrow. Oh. In the presence of your lover, the pain of separation does exist. That pain maintains prema. So, when one gets to prema, it is not just stagnant. There are different levels to maintain this Christian prema which you are looking for. It has nourishment. Yes. So we go for Christian prema and live in material world. Material world, even if one have a good relationship, no matter how perfect and good relationship may have in this material world, it will break by death. A spiritual relationship never breaks at any point. Never. It becomes purer and purer and purer, and the more we go, the better it becomes. That's the spiritual life. So we should go for that. And this painful material existence, be given up. Does it make sense? This thing is, it has more effect when we hear, not when we type. That is why I didn't answer. But I already discussed it. The day I got the message, I discussed it some devotees. It was in Mauritius when he sent it. Yes.
So Maharaj, continuation with this question. We keep hearing this all the time about material and spiritual. Even theoretically we've understood perfectly that of course material life means disaster. However, why is it so difficult for us to take to the spiritual life seriously?
Good. Why is it so difficult, even though we have had, even preached it seriously, have given seminars, so many seminars, and got the appreciation so much from it, but why is it still difficult that we are not doing it? First of all, we have been associating with this material energy since time immemorial. So addiction is there. Attachment is there. So it will take long time to get purified from it. It takes long time to recover from for those who have taken drugs before, to get out of that hallucination take long time. So it will take us long time, some of us, not all. Long time to get out of this dream. Because majority of us, the dream which we have in the night, we transfer it to our daily life. It's very dangerous when we transfer the dream to our wakeful life. It is very, very dangerous. Majority of us are doing that. To make the dream illusion a reality. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains, the secondary nature has become like primary. So majority of people are thinking that spiritual life is something new. We are material entities who are trying to practice spirituality. That is the danger of transferring our dream to a wakeful stage. We are thinking that material life is normal life. Spiritual life, something we just want to enter into. No, the opposite is that we are spiritual beings who have been undergoing material existence, experience. We're having material experience. But that has become chronic disease. That we are attached to suffering instead of enjoyment. It has come to that level. We are accepting temporal things as permanent. There's a danger of transferring our dream to the wakeful stage. We accept suffering as enjoyment. Many, many people, they pay money to go and experience shock from horror movies. Why? There's bliss in it. Yes. If you don't enjoy it, why should you pay money? It's not free. They pay money to go and get horrified. That's the danger of transferring our dream to wakeful stage. So, material life is now like a primary issue, while spirituality like a secondary thing. Many devotees, we prefer to keep our japa to do our material activity. What's the meaning of that? When we have time, then I can do japa. What's the meaning? The material life is more important than the spiritual life. That is the association, long association with matter, that they have taken us to that level. Now we are thinking that we are material beings who are venturing into spirituality. No, we are spiritual entities who are experiencing material existence. Second, because of our long association of material energy, addiction has come. That addiction now is functioning in moods, ignorance, passion, and goodness. And in Kali Yuga, ignorance is very, very prominent. Therefore, our japa, our hearing, our seeing, our speech, our thought, everything is affected by the mood which controls us. And that also has to do with our activity. So everything is affected by the moods that controls us. The person in the mood of ignorance who will never see the need to practice spiritual life. Christian consciousness is too far. What is it? Is far. So mysticism is more attractive than spirituality. Most people. The moods of nature is heavy and it's acting on us, influencing everything which we do. For this reason, we can talk and talk and talk. Realization is not coming as such. And Christian consciousness is dutiful, dutiful because if we exist within this movement without really getting seriously involved in practicing, everything, all the philosophy it will remain a dream. So we see many devotees, they are very good in giving advice to people who have difficulty, but when they come to that point, they will never use it. Because the advice they are giving does not exist in them. It is just theory, no realization. They have not transcended. They are simply functioning on the mental plane. Therefore, they can give very powerful advice, but the advice doesn't exist in themselves. When they have the difficulty, they will not get out of it. The self-realized soul are different. So we have to become self-realized. Pure devotional self begins from self-realization. We will practice pure Christian consciousness when we are self-realized. So it is difficult to practice Christian consciousness without self-realization. It is difficult. Dana Bhuta Prasanatma. Ah, Sutati Nakanshati. Sama Sarvesu Bhutishu Madbhaktim Labhati. That's the beginning of devotional service. When one consciously served Lord Krishna for his pleasure, not out of fear or material existence, not out of expectation for something. Now we are serving Krishna because that is what we're supposed to do originally. At the beginning of devotional service. After self-realization. Make sense?
Very much.
So we have to try to come to a level of self-realization, self-realization, to understand who I am. That should be understood. Then, okay, the Western civil will begin from there.
In the same point, Bharat.
Yes.
The most difficult part of the self-realization is samasarveshu bhuteshu, Bharat. Which you were explaining yesterday. The however much you try, it just seems very impossible. It's also the same long-term material association.
It is possible when. Now we come to realize I am helpless and I cannot do this on my own. It's not possible to do this. Then one is begging, one is praying seriously, one is confessing and repentance. These are the technologies we need to practice every day in everything that we do. When this is applied, pure devotional service become very easy. Become easy. Because application is lacking. Most of us. Application is lacking. Even materially, we have never heard that theory makes perfect. Theory. It doesn't make perfect. It is practice that makes perfect. So we have to practice. Every day. To practice. Put a lot of effort into practice. With humility, always begging. That's the conclusion of Chitta Chaitamrita. Always praying at the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatana, begging for their mercy. That's the conclusion. Every chapter ends like that. Always begging, not sometimes. So, self-realization means that we are conscious of what we are, That what makes pure devotees different in their humility. They are genuinely humble, not theoretically humble or out of knowledge. They are humble. They are humble due to purity. Because they know how tiny we are. We theoretically hear of it, but we don't know how really tiny we are. The pure devotees, they know us. Therefore, they are naturally humble and they always begging for the mercy of them. It is at that point, one cries, and that is the price for pure love of God. That's the price. That cry is not the cry women easily do. It's different. There's a cry not from here. It is from the heart. One cry from the heart. A person who is feeling comfortable in material existence cannot cry. Oh, I have a nice strong body. I am this and that. Okay. You cannot cry. Self-realization makes one to cry for pure love of God. Then it becomes easy. We need to practice them. And our charities, they put all this down, all of them. They put it down. Look at their life, how they pray. Haridas Thakura is praying. My dear Lord Chaitanya. Anyone who sees me will become materialistic. Anyone who sees me and whoever touches me need to go and take birth in Ganga. He's not pretending. He feels like that. But their prayers is their eye, their vision they are giving to us to see ourselves. So Krishna used them to show us the way, how we should pray, how we should think, what we should do, how to do everything. So Krishna used all the pure devotees to teach us. He cannot use conditioned souls to teach. So Krishna used only pure devotees because they will never fail. They know the drama. They are playing it perfectly for our benefit. Conditioned souls, Krishna, what is this? It's too much. If you really want me to come to you, why is it so difficult like this? The pure devotees will never say that. Look at the Pandavas from beginning to the end. No single space for Pandavas, right from the beginning to the end. That's too much. What is this? And at the same time, don't look the other side. See, academy. All varieties of facility for self gratification. And here, devotees trying. What they are trying, you are not getting. And they are not getting what is outside. At the point you ask Krishna, my friend, what is this? Krishna will laugh. Oh, you want to come to me? This is it now. This is it. Yes. It is sweet. Let me tell you the truth. It is sweet. The sweet is not that it's not bitter. That bitterness is sweet. When we come to that level, we are on the way. We are on the way to God. And we have to come to that level. So Papa said, he wrote a letter to one disciple. See, throw out my life from my God brothers. Depression, compression, repression, this all I got from my God brothers. Why are you worried? Continue with your devotional service. But the academy is they have something to compensate them. They have their self-gratification. It's going on there. Right? It's going on there. But the devotee who is really on the path. Therefore, those are very wise. They use this word, the dark night of the soul. That's a wonderful time. That's a wonderful time in the life of a devotee. The dark night of the soul. That's a point where everything is disappointing you. Everything disappointing. And you still remain, yes, you are pure devotee. So it is sweet. It is sweet. Yes.
Maharaj had him before in Vrindavan giving a lecture about the power of obeisances.
Yes.
Do you mind repeating that?
He'll
repeat.
He's asking about the power of obeisances. Obeisances. Every day we offer obeisances. Every day. We offer obeisances. What is this obeisance is that we offer every day and for the whole of our life? What is the beginning of Bhagavatam? What is Bhagavatam? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The whole Bhagavatam. So it's a powerful literature. What does it begin from? Obeisances. Why? That's the gateway to the reality. All along in the material world, we have been, I am. I am. Who are you? We don't know, but I am. I am. So that is material existence. The spiritual life means what? I am the servant, not the supreme Lord. Obey senses. So that is the beginning of human life. At the beginning, human life begins at the point when the soul is now offering his or her head, which we have been refusing since time immemorial. Now we are offering to Krishna. Krishna, I have been avoiding you for long, and avoiding you means what? Suffering. But their causeless mercy has made it easy for me. But now, obeisance is into the person to God. And Prabhupada started the purport the same, but from the obeisances. Obeisances. He started the purport the same way. So, materially, you are fighting with someone. If you offer obeisance, that person will not fight you again. Why? You have offered yourself to the person, so not fight you again. Now you are surrendered to the person, not fight again. In the Mahabharata, there is a very beautiful narration yesterday, the Mahabharata. He said that fire, Agni, was burning a forest. The fire was so much that everything was consumed. No escape. And there was a bird who had just laid, a baby bird. And the mother was thinking, how am I going to save? I can fly, but what about my baby? And the baby was the mother bird was thinking, what to do? The baby said, "Mother, don't worry about us. Save yourself, just go. You should go." So she flew away. When Agni came very, very close to them, all of them, the awful presences to Agni. Now we are so surrendered unto you. They were the only thing that was saved in that forest. The only thing that was saved was this baby bird. So after everything was finished, the bird came back and was shocked to see that her baby were completely protected. Nothing happened to them. So what? What sage did you approach to give you this misspeople? We didn't approach any sage. What mantra did you chant to give you this protection? We didn't chant any mantra because we don't know any mantra. So what happened? Obeisances. Only obeisances will offer. That's the power of obeisance. We are doing it every day, but we do it whimsically, without understanding what we are doing. It is very powerful that when we offer obeisances to a person, that person cannot harm us any longer. If you are offering to a pure devotee, that is wonderful. You will get all the mercy which he cannot give ordinarily. Obeisance will make him to give it to you. in the Brahma Vaibharata Purana. There, yesterday described a fighting between Lord Shiva and Sankachuda. Sankachuda is the husband of Tulsi Devi. And he is Sudama from Goloka. So Lord Shiva fighting for the demigods, and Sankachuda was fighting for the demon. He took the form of a demon because Srimati Rani cursed him to become a demon. So he took that form. And they were fighting. And one day, Sankachuda himself and Bhadrakali, they were fighting themselves. And they were using everything they know to use in fighting. They used everything. Bhadrakali took the weapon on Lord Vishnu. As he raised it on Sankachuda, Sankachuda saw that Lord Vishnu's weapon. I cannot defeat this weapon. He got down from the chariot and offered obeisances to the weapon, and the weapon returned back to the vision. That's obeisances we do every day. That is how powerful it is. Very, very protective. That is how we do it. If we do it consciously, every day we circumambulate Tulsi Devi and chant. But how many of us remember we are circumambulating a person? Who remember? I'm circumambulating a person who can give me Krishna prema. Difficult. So we should do it consciously. Even though we are doing it unconsciously, it has so much power. It has so much power. So if we do it consciously, how powerful it will be. Can't imagine how powerful it is. So obeisance is not just activities. No. It is very, very powerful. So we do it to each other, we do it to our Shikuru, we do it to Krishna. So if you offer obeisance, it's very life. Yes.
Maharaj, sometimes we feel that our material responsibilities or activities, we sometimes give it more precedence over our spiritual activities. Just so that we know that, okay, this is what is going to get my house running, or this is what is going. But what is the right approach of giving priority to material or the spiritual activities? Sometimes it is difficult when in practical life you want to, you know, you are working late, you cannot wake up early, you cannot do this, and then you try and shrink in between all material activities you were trying to practice initially to squeeze in your spiritual life. As you mentioned earlier, it is literally the other way around. As you said, we are squeezing in the material, the spiritual life in our material schedule. What is the right approach to this?
The right approach is that we should give priority to our spiritual life, because that is our permanent asset. Permanent. It will not be taken at any time. So Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, little endeavor, just little. What a big endeavor. If little endeavor can save us from a great deal of problem, what about great endeavor? You can't imagine it. See, material thing depends on spiritual things. A devotee who chants his or her rounds very nicely in the morning before he goes to work, that day is a wonderful day, it's a beautiful day. Everything will work very nicely, because the shadow moves according to the object, not the object moves according to the shadow. So material life is shadow, spiritual life is the object. If you take our spiritual life very nicely, our material life will automatically come. Out of ignorance or faithlessness, we think that if I do like this, material life will suffer. If you become a pure devotee, what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Yes. Yes. We are not ready, so we are thinking that no. Who will take care of my this? Who will take care of my this? Who will take care of that? All those things will remain, even if we don't have it, it will remain. Long time back when we were just coming to the movement, it was a friend we were practicing together that time. So at the point he was lacking, I said, my friend, what is the problem? So no, my mother is very old, I'm the oldest son, I have to do something to help her. I said, no other brother or sister can do. You already decided to be a devotee. Why can't you go to the gym? I have to do something to take care. All right. After 1 year, I met him. I said, oh, my friend, what is happening? For a whole year, he has no job. And his mother has not died. So, who is taking care of who? His mother is still there. He has no job for the whole year. No job, no money, nothing. He's not giving her anything. Only president sees her face. No Christian consciousness, no money, no job, nothing. But the mother is not there. The mother is still alive. This is illusion. I will think, or if I become so Christian conscious, my material life will suffer. Our material will become better. And even if you suffer, what is wrong with that? If you become a pure devotee, what is wrong with that? And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, what did he say in Bhagavad Gita? 9:24. What did Bhagavad Gita say? 9:22.
Yes, what did Bhagavad Gita say? I give them what they lack and I preserve what they have and I give them what they lack.
You understand what Krishna is saying? You understand? Repeat it. Listen, repeat it.
I give them what they lack and I preserve what they have.
So what is the meaning? What is Krishna saying? What is Krishna saying here?
He provides for whatever material, spiritual material, everything. He is the one who is providing.
And then?
And whatever we have done, he is also protecting it.
So Krishna is telling us here, I provide everything which we need, right? Demigod can do that. Right? They take from Krishna, they will give to the. There's something else Krishna said, I will preserve. Demigod cannot do that. So Krishna said, I will give you and I will remain with you to make sure what I have given will not finish. What Krishna is saying? Demigod can do that?
No.
So Krishna said, I will stay with you and be with you to see that whatever I have given to never finished. Remain with you. Is that wonderful?
It is.
You know what Krishna is saying? So we should better follow Krishna. He will not leave us alone. The only thing is that he said exclusive devotion. It's just for me. If you do this, I will do this for you. So if we depend on Krishna, now chapter 18, 57, depend upon me in all your endeavors. Right? Depend upon me in all your endeavors. You will be successful. Look at the history. Arjuna cannot defeat Drona Acharya. Arjuna cannot fight Bhishma Dev. But because he depended on Krishna, he passed through all that. This is dependence on Krishna. So if we depend on Krishna, we'll have the same experience. It's not that we should give up our material there. No, we should not give it up. We should do them because we have a material body to maintain. So we should do that. But we shouldn't do that at the expense of our spiritual life. That is dangerous. So, a fortunate devotee should never sacrifice Krishna for anything. But we should sacrifice everything for Krishna. That is fortune. Yes.
If no one else says no.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, Maharaj, I'm just talking of Nairobi for now. Once in a while somebody wants to surrender full time here, but they're ready to come and stay full time in the temple. And then we have all these others advising them, oh, there's no future in ISKCON, what you're going to do, you don't have education, in the later stage nobody is going to give, you know, look after you. And it's such a chronic disease, Maharaj. I mean, you don't even get anybody to, once in a while you get, and the millions advising them, oh, don't stay in the temple, it's not the best place, they throw you out, there's no future, you need a job, you need this.
Nice question.
Two things. One, to stop people from becoming Christian conscious, very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. Let me read one purport from Bible. There's one purport here. To stop someone from being a devotee is very, very dangerous. Prabhupada is speaking in the purport. No one should try to check a person, no matter what his present position is, from coming to the platform of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. Actually, one must come to the platform of a Vaishnava, then he automatically becomes a Brahmana. This can be done only if the Krishna consciousness movement is spread. We are trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Vaishnava. Krishna conscious movement has the duty to do what? To elevate everyone. To the platform of Vaishnava. And that's the duty of Hare Krishna movement. So if we are telling people not to become a full-time devotee, like go against Prabhupada. What Prabhupada is saying, like going against the Prabhupada and his movement. No one should check a person, no matter what is his present position, from coming to the platform of a Brahmana or Vaishnava. Actually, one must come to the platform of a Vaishnava, then he automatically becomes a Brahmana. This can be done only by the process of Krishna consciousness. This Krishna consciousness movement. Our duty is to spread this knowledge and give people a chance to take part and elevate ourselves to Krishna consciousness. See, if we stop someone from becoming a devotee, what is that we are doing? Going against the Prabhupada and his movement. This is what we are doing. How can we have taste for the name by doing this? How can we ourselves become a devotee? That means that we ourselves, we are not devotees, therefore we don't want people to become a devotee. A devotee will encourage others to become a devotee. If one are not a devotee, how will I encourage one to become a devotee? That is one. Secondly, we should become responsible devotees. We should become responsible devotees that our seriousness in Christian consciousness will not give room for this kind of devotee to speak like this against us. So we have contribution to this. If we carefully look at ourselves, we'll see that we are contributing, we are giving people a chance to disturb the movement, discouraging people from coming to the movement. Because if we are in the place and they are seeing that only the old people are there, no new person. What's the message? In organization, only old people are there, no new person. What is the message you are giving out to the people?
We're not preaching.
So that is the message we're giving to people. And we're not preaching. We're not bringing people in. Only that, something else. What else? Okay, Christianity is only for old people. Yes. There's something very serious about this. When we're not getting new people, what is the message? What are we doing?
We're discriminating.
We're discouraging, yes?
Discriminating,
yes?
We're killing the moment.
Yes?
We're setting an example that this doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
There's no
purity. We're not welcoming.
No purity. See, this movement will close very soon. Because when all the old people are dead, who is going to take care? Who will continue the movement? So we are closing the movement. That is the message we are giving to people. It's very dangerous. We didn't start the movement, so we have no power to close it. Someone's business, we shouldn't go and join the movement to close. To go and close someone's company. Shouldn't do that. We don't have that right. So we should do our Christian consciousness in such a way that people are encouraged and people are looking at our life and are feeling that, yes, this is very good. I should become like this. I'd like to be like this. So even if someone speaks against us like this, what intelligent person will say, but see, they're looking very nice. Let me go there. But if the people see that, yes. I came to the movement last month, and this month I'm not seeing the people that I saw there before. And one hears this, say, this is true. Let me find my way. So two things are involved in this. We ourselves are responsible, and the people who are doing that, they're also responsible. And they hate the movement. Therefore, they don't want people to join. It's dangerous. Yes.
you said about spiritual life and material life.
Mm.
So how do we know, like, when we are taking our kids out, is it a material life? Or because it's a part of life, we have to take them
out. We take them to where?
The garden,
safari,
for small picnics.
Yeah, picnics and all. So that is part of material life.
Cycling, some sports.
Well, the first canto of Bhagavatam. Yesterday, asked Narada Muni, his guru, what did you do when the sages left? He started talking about himself. Although I'm a small boy, but I never played football. I was not naughty. I was very attached to this Bhaktivedanta. This is Narada Muni. All of us would like to have Narada Muni die as our son, right? But look at his life. We would like to have his life, undergo all the difficulties he passed through to become Narada Muni. So let us follow this. We should follow this path. I also heard Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya, his mother and father, They are devotees. They got direct permission from the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Chaitanya told them, my devotee is coming. Told you, I won't go and bring the child. So he's already a devotee. But still, his mother will, she is not seeing the baby on her lap, she constantly, as she's breastfeeding the baby, like this morning, breastfeeding, along with that, she's chanting Hare Krishna in his ears. And what become of him? Pure devotee. These are done by devotees, not karmis. Done by devotees. So I feel that we should follow this style. And not waste our time, waste our days for chanting japa to hear about Krishna, going to the park to go and see karmis. Gratifying their senses at the park. Krishna is not there, it's karmis that are there. Why should we have the association of karmis? We should create our own varnashram. We have our own picnic. Yes. In Lagos, every year we go to the beach. Christmas Day and New Year Day, we go to the beach. And the way we play football, we do sport, swim. Have lecture, then we have kirtan for the people there. That's a picnic you go to do, not to go and ride bicycle. It's a waste. We should give Krishna consciousness to our children now from the beginning, so that they will grow with it. Even if they give it up, at the end they will come back to it because the foundation has been laid. And Papa said that is what his father did for me. So it's not a loss if you do that. Prahlad Maharaj said right from the beginning, we should do this right from the beginning. This is my, it makes sense.
100%. Right? But there's so much of peer pressure, Maharaj. They go to school, then when they go on Monday, it's like, where did you go? So our children also feel, I remember their older girls like Sarika and Vishaka, they would say, oh, we went to the temple. Oh, you went to the temple to do what? But they were very firm in their conviction. But now the present, this generation, I think they don't have that kind of conviction because the parents are also younger. They also under the peer pressure, oh, we have to be doing things for the children. So they don't have that conviction, you know. They even go to schools where they can wear tilak, but they can't. Swaminarayans are wearing the tilak everywhere, even in Australia and offices. But our children can't wear tilak, they're too embarrassed about it.
This is what we were saying this morning. The children, they don't listen, they don't follow what you are talking. They follow what you are doing.
Exactly.
So, we should be careful with that. Yes?
Maharaj, we see that the scriptures, they only speak about sense gratification and advancement of material life. But yet we see India is the most populated. We see India is mostly materially advanced. And we see the other scriptures of like the part of the Vedas speak about living a peaceful human life with family, sense gratification. So my question is, where do you draw the line for regulated human life?
When you look at the Mahabharata, what do we see? And you look at that, those days, the family sit together in the evening to hear Mahabharata. Yes, they have gone out to work, but in the evening, what do they do? Or in the morning before they go for the business, what do? They go to the temple. In the evening, they hear, they come sit together and hear Mahabharata, Ramayana. That was the culture.
Yeah, but when do you say this is regulated for me? It might be less for me, but this is my regulation. I have to take care of my children, take them for cycling. You know, that's my regulation of my Krishna conscious balancing material and spiritual. Because that's the way we are supposed to be in that sense.
We shall see when I take my children out, what is that activity affecting them spiritually or materially. After taking them out, and they still listen to Bhagavad Gita, or their taste for Bhagavad Gita is going down, and their taste for the picnics is increasing. If you check that and see. If you see the effect it is having on us, you can say, okay, this is wonderful, I should give my children this, or I should not.
No, but it's just like you say, a place in India, everyone is doing everything. But whenever they pass through a temple, they're paying obeisance.
Yes.
They're respecting. Oh, we see a saintly person, they bow down.
Yes.
But still they are engaged in all the material. So is it that their upbringing is regulated, that when they see the scripture or they see a saintly person, there's respect?
Yes. It's regulation. They follow the scripture. How are they doing that without knowing? They know. This is it. How would they know if nobody teaches them? They know that because they're teaching, they have seen that the parents are doing, so they're following that. In the scripture, they're following that. This compulsory to hear the scripture every day. What they say is that people are artificially doing this thing without really going deep into it. So much rituals, but they don't understand the philosophy behind the ritual, which they do. It's affecting our present generation. One man was inviting his son to go to Ganesh temple. And the boy said, well, for what? Oh, Ganesh will help us with progress. He said, I already get the certificate and my job is very good. I have big salary. I said, what do you mean? He couldn't convince him because it's not philosophy, it's just a ritual. So the boy, he said, no reason why he should go and serve off obeisance to Ganesh. So he didn't go. Because it's just a ritual without philosophy. So we have to teach our children the knowledge of Christian consciousness. Yes, they should go to school, yes, they should go to school. In our community, we are trying to do this. We want to educate people, have our children go to our school. We have everything for the children. So there is nothing outside for ISKCON that a child will say, okay, there's something which is missing here, they have to look outside. We have everything which is better than to protect the children from being sent to slaughterhouses. There's a project we are doing. We have a very big land in Ghana and in Nigeria. We are doing something there.
While we are on the same subject with children, there's a very big fear, especially within the community, about children being materially handicapped when they are too much spiritually engrossed. What happens is a lot of outside people, and if our children, usually we teach them humility and we teach them good culture and things, they get taken advantage of, and because we are not too engrossed in cheating propensity and lying, and we try and teach our children to go to the right path, they get taken advantage, either the cheater or the cheated. So the children end up being on the cheated perspective. And that is why amongst a lot of parents there is this fear of being materially handicapped. So if they go tomorrow, if they decide to have a family and work in the material world, will they be able to cope up with this, the pressures of, because the material world right now, the industries are increasing and there is too much
competition.
It's becoming harder and harder, and they have to, it's a struggle to even survive nowadays. Mm. Before children would go with their parents to their workplace and they would eventually pick up these qualities. Now parents are doing something, the children are in a different atmosphere completely. So how do we balance this hole in between, the materially handicapped hole?
That is why community is required. Community is a solution to this. That we have a facility to take care of the children and also give them future. That they don't have to go to the world and get cheated. They are trained, and after the training they have something to engage them in. And even if they get married, they have something to take care. They don't have fear about it. ISKCON have not gone into it, but we are trying now. We are trying to go into it. We are trying. So we pray that the Christian help will get to save this situation. Otherwise, yes, it is fearful to leave our children in the material world. They will not find a balance.
You forget children management,
yes.
For us it is sometimes very difficult. It is very hard sometimes. Yeah.
Now we are trying to bridge this, to remove this problem. To have a healthy community that is just, the devotees are fully protected. And they live for each other.
In mentioning this, that we should protect our children, it is, that's why I have a question, that in Bhagavad Gita it said that whatever a great man does, a common man follows.
Mm.
And so we also find in our Shastras so many great Ramananda Rai and so many other great Vaishnavas were in good position. But if we have protected our children and they have not mingled outside, or they don't go out, then they will never get a chance to set an example, like you get some politicians who are ISKCON or vegetarians. Now that is used, or some celebrities who are vegetarians, that is helping others turn vegetarian just because they admire them or they are their fans. But if your community is secluded, then the greatest potentials, but they are within, the outside world never gets to access. So is it right to say that for them to do that, they also have to go out and become the best of the best there is out there?
The base of a materialist like Lord Brahma, what is the value of that? Even if you become Lord Brahma as a materialist, what does he do? What benefit does he get from it?
No, not as a materialist. These are spiritual children.
Yes.
They will go out and set a good example,
yes,
as spiritual people. A mundane example of that is the current Indian president. Wherever he goes, he is preaching Bhagavad Gita. He is not having the knowledge at that, but at least he is on face front putting the book up. So if you had more qualified devotees at that level, then I'm sure they'll be able to implement more good policies into the politics or into the day-to-day lives of people.
Yes, it's good if we train more devotees and they are preaching Christian consciousness. It's very good. But to become a politician is very difficult.
It's an example.
Yes.
That in any field, in good business, we have Amdishwar, who is forward, who is handling good business, his devotee also.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
But if they don't go out, then it's not possible, Maharaj, I feel so.
No, it is possible. If we train devotees and are good in business. Yes, I was telling Prabhu, devotees, we should work with them for a short time, raise money and establish our own. So our devotees will work together in that place, not working with karmis.
But just like what he is saying, which is true, even we see today, if a non-devotee comes to the temple, the devotees will mingle with the devotees, but they will neglect the non-devotees.
Mm.
So if the devotees, the children are just secluded on their own, even when they go out, they will not know what to do because they are never mingled with the non-devotees. So how will they even set the example? So if they are very secluded, or if they are not going out, then how will they get to be with them?
If they are trained, if they are properly trained, they have the knowledge how to deal with and non-devotees and also maintain their balance. That's meaning training. Except they are not trained. If they are trained, then they should know this. They should know how to deal with it. How to present Krishna consciousness to people and remain devotee, not to become affected by that. It is possible to do that. There is one spiritual society, not spiritual, a community. They have training for their members. They train all the boys. They train them. And after training sufficiently, well, they are sure that yes, we have done our best. So they send all of them out. So now you go to the world. 90% of them came back. Only 10% remained there. Because they are trained, and when they went there, they saw, oh, there's nothing here for me. It's not the movement who told them to do that. They sent all of them out. Now you go. We are finished. 90% of them came back to the organization. Only 10% remained there. That is success. So also, if we train our people in the same way, they will do something wonderful, provided the training is there. You can understand what is required to do, and they can do it. You can present Krishna consciousness. Of course, you have a balanced life. And our community should be able to have something to maintain the devotees, to protect the devotees, that we don't have to look for something outside. We can go there to give people and bring people to come and see that spirituality is not just philosophy alone. We have something physical to show to the world. That's how we can penetrate and make a heavy impact that will affect the world and change the world. Not just to go and compete with them. We will go there, we will fail, because already politicians, they have their own standards. We cannot compete with them. So we should have our people trained properly.
Sorry, Maharaj, again, to add on to this, that what happens that we have become devotees and we are very fixed in our ways. But when we move out, there is no relation. Like, I don't have a relation with him. Like, if I start imposing on him, he will shy off. But if I have a relation, then I tell him something, and if he doesn't like just out of a relation thing, he will first give it a thought, consideration, and then maybe even see the good in it. So when we have no relation outside and we all of a sudden go out, will it not be like we've just come and we're imposing, rather than doing it in that way, that we build a relationship by not even discussing Krishna consciousness, but becoming good friends first and then tell him that this is Krishna consciousness and he admires your attitude or your behavior, and then he comes following you into Krishna consciousness. Is that a good approach?
That requires training. When we are properly trained, then we can do that. We don't be affected. We can deal with this the material world and maintain our spiritual life. The quiet journey. So we can do that.
Based on that, what I find, there's a lack of major training, because what we find devotees, once they become devotees, I'm rigid. Now you are useless to me. I am a very superior devotee.
That is not a devotee mentality. That's not a devotee mentality. A devotee is not so narrow-minded. That's why we're talking about training. To understand this, how to handle, to deal with every situation in a healthy way that benefits everyone. Otherwise, how we Christian consciousness, we cannot change the people. To do that, we have to go with it. We cannot also be like them. I have some friends, devotees. They misunderstand. It's a very risky thing. Delicate and risky. The point I'm making. They are devotees. And I started dressing like this one, and he's keeping dreadlock. He want to be like that so he can please Krishna consciousness. But what we see after all this is that his consciousness is more materialistic than emotional. So we would need a serious training and a maturity to deal with it. It's not about being naive or half-hearted and not respecting people. That is not training. The training is we should have a sort of how to deal with people nicely and relate nicely and make people do what is. That is what we are talking about.
And if somewhere where you are doing devotional service and your heart is not softening but becoming more hard, what
that is not
the problem?
Good. That's not good. That means that we are not getting the writing. It's a mix-up. We need to be clear. Until that is clear, you cannot make a headway. You can't be a threat to the community as a whole.
Or even sometimes to the family or whoever.
Yes.
Maharaj, I have a practical example of what we were talking about, children and Krishna consciousness. During a marathon, when we were doing book distribution, we had this girl who is 7 years old. She is Mukund Murari's daughter, and she was doing books with us. So one of the days, the father took an off so that he could take the family out, and the daughter refused. She said, I don't want to go with you. I want to go for books. And she was with us the whole time. And if she ever missed one day, she would come and apologize. She used to feel really bad. So for a whole day, these children were doing book distribution, and this is their holiday season. So they're supposed to be playing, they're supposed to be having fun, but they rather come and do books with us.
That's wonderful.
It is. It was very inspiring to see these small kids, very innocent. At the same time, they were dealing with adults on the street, but nobody could cheat them. Krishna gives them intelligence.
Yes.
So when they give a book and somebody just wants to go away without paying them, they'll follow them and take money from them. So yeah, they wouldn't be cheated. So if we have faith in Krishna and Krishna consciousness, our children will survive. They will not be cheated.
We can't be cheated, Maharaj. They have Krishna behind them. How can any materialistic cheat them, or they can't fit in the... For a devotee to fit anywhere is much easier than for a non-devotee to fit somewhere, you know. It's simple.
Yes.
Is it good to be cheated? Better to get cheated.
Than to cheat. Yeah, than to cheat others, yeah.
Come to realize that the truth.
Yes.
They get cheated.
Actually, in the material world, people, humility is taken to mean
stupidity.
You're foolish. You don't know anything. I can cheat you. People think like that, that's it. But it's not the meaning of humility. Rather, like I'm saying, they are cheated. Even what they think they have done, they are the ones that are cheated. Because they're going to pay heavily for it, for the karma they have done on their head. So in all circumstances, it's better to remain a devotee, and a good devotee. That will save everything. It's very well. And make life very nice. Wonderful. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai Gopinarayana. Thank you.